Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Welcome back, everyone, to A World Powerfully Transformed. I have a very special guest here today. It's Reverend Dr. Kristen Harper from the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Barnstable on Cape Cod. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And the reason I asked you to come on our show at this time is it's getting close to Earth Day, and we're in the middle of our Earth Care Month, and you'll be here speaking as part of our film series next Friday night. The film is called Ecosia. I don't know a lot about it. Do you know anything about the film?
Not yet. I have gotten a link, so I'm going to watch it beforehand so I know what I'm talking about.
Great. What Martha's told me is it has something to do with the sacred nature of the natural environment and how that is going to be our way back.
Yes.
To balancing our relationship with the earth is coming into a greater realization of the sacred nature of our environment. And that's why I invited you here today to talk a little bit about that. So I'd like to start out with a quote, and this should get us going and thinking a little more deeply about it. It's from Hubert Reeves, who was a Canadian astrophysicist. And he said, "Man is the most insane species. He worships an invisible God and destroys a visible nature, unaware that this nature he is destroying is the God he is worshiping." Have you heard that one before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, it immediately reminds me of the seventh principle of Unitarian Universalists, which is we covenant to promote and affirm the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So it reminds me that we often fail to remember that we are interconnected with the earth and with nature, and we need nature as much as nature needs us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, for me, the biggest problem humanity is involved in right now is this idea of separation, that we're separate from nature.
Yes.
Is there ways that you promote healing our relationship with the natural world?
Some of the ways I do that is to talk about what enjoyment we get from nature and what peace and serenity. A lot of people in the congregation I serve find their spirituality within nature.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's gardening or walking along the beach or walking in the woods or swimming, there's a lot in nature that is so important. And understanding and feeling our connection helps that healing happen.
Yes, I truly believe that as well. And we have something on Cape Cod here called the Faith Communities Environmental Network, FCEN, of which your congregation is part of.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yes. A while ago, several years ago, members of my congregation and I talked about how we could connect with other faith communities to do environmental justice and find best practices on how we could be more eco-justice friendly in our congregations, at, you know, themselves. And so a group of congregations got together, and we've grown from a few congregations to 40.
Wow.
And we talk a lot about best practices, what's going on in the community environmentally. Right now we're doing a series of theological conversations on the theological basis of different faith communities' eco-justice work.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So the theological piece is something I'm very interested in. We're actually members of FCEN as well here at Unity. And I felt that we could use a little more networking on our part. So could you tell me a little bit more of how that's unfolding, talking about the theological necessity for eco-justice?
Well, how it's unfolding is that different faith communities have really similar but different reasons for doing this work. And so people are sharing their faith's reasoning, some scriptural, some ethical reasoning for doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is that there's this connection often between spirit and our call to nature and our call to be stewards as opposed to having dominion over the earth.
Mm.
We are called to be stewards of the earth. And there's different reasons for that. Some people's reasoning is has to do with God being the creator of everything, including nature, and humanity being instructed to steward or protect the earth. I talked about how in my faith tradition there are a lot of different theologies because Unitarian Universalists don't have one theology.
Awesome.
And I'm a panentheist and a humanist. And what that means is that I believe that which is divine is within us, within the world, and grows stronger as we are pulled towards one another and the earth. And so I feel that pull towards the earth and that interdependent web of the earth. And that's what calls me to do eco-justice.
That's awesome. I believe that too. And here at Unity on Cape Cod, we have a statement from our Earth Care team. It's our covenant. And I'd love to read it to you.
Yes.
It says, acknowledging that all of creation is connected, we as a sacred community are committed to being responsible stewards of our earthly home. We affirm and hold a deep respect for all life and a sincere reverence for the interdependent web of all that is.
Mm.
It goes on, but basically I think it's very similar to what you are expressing here. And I was reading a little bit this week about Henry David Thoreau and living more in harmony with nature rather than even being stewards, allowing nature to steward us and allowing a lifestyle that is dictated by our relationship with nature. For me, Kristen, I have to say, when I was teaching A Course in Miracles, something happened to me that shifted my consciousness incredibly. And that was a lesson that says, God is in everything I see.
Mm.
So I went from being a New Thought Christian, metaphysical Christian, to more of a pantheist in a way, because I was going around all day looking at the tree saying, God is in that tree. Mm. God is in that blade of grass. God is in that ant. Mm-hmm. You know, and everything yeah. I see. And suddenly, experience that everything was, in fact, connected and together and whole, one ecosystem, not separate parts, became my experience.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, something that I would love to be able to communicate to others, that this experience is available.
Yes, I think providing opportunities for people to be in nature and experience that divinity, that pull, that embrace. I mean, for me, growing up, I grew up in the woods in central Massachusetts, and I used to spend hours a day out in the woods smelling the pine, laying on the beds of grass and moss and pine needles, and I just loved it. I felt so safe and held in ways that I don't think I ever have.
Mm-hmm. I felt that at the ocean, on the beach, growing up here on the Cape in Falmouth, being able to go to the beach every day, even in the winter.
Yeah.
Having that be my safe place, mm-hmm. and the place I would connect with the universe. Everything divine was there for me. Everything. I learned to meditate just by sitting quietly mm-hmm. on the beach. I didn't know it was meditation.
Right.
I was just listening to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that this is a natural way of being, and that we can regain that. We can recover our sense of being one with nature. No matter who we are, where we live, what our ideologies have been, we can have an experience that will demonstrate the oneness of everything. Do you think that's true? For every being has the opportunity, or maybe not the opportunity, but the potential.
I think most human beings have that potential, absolutely. I don't know if everyone does, but I think most do. I think that it takes some getting out of the sense that humanity is above and beyond and separate from nature.
Mm-hmm.
When I do memorial services, I often talk about Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. And in it, he says, we think somehow we're above nature, and because we don't realize that we're apart, we don't realize our relationship to it. And I love that idea that we're in relationship with the earth and with the environment. And we have to build and stroke that relationship mm-hmm. and make sure that we feed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we need to nurture our relationship with each other and with everything around
yes.
us. I read something this past Sunday was our Earth Day celebration a little early this year. And I always pull out this quote. It's attributed to Albert Einstein. I don't know if it's actually him or it's a nice way to characterize what he was thinking. But it says, a human being is part of a whole, called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself or herself or her thoughts and feelings as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. And this delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and affection for a few persons nearest to us. Then he goes on to say, and I love this part, our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circles of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. You've probably heard that one before.
I've used it in the sermon.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah.
It's a great one to use.
It is a great one.
And I believe wholeheartedly that we can free ourselves by the activity of inclusion in our circles of compassion, all of nature, all living creatures. So I'm just wondering, perhaps as a community, how are you guys doing it right now in widening your circles of compassion?
We're doing it in multiple ways. We every year, our children and youth do things like going to the beach and doing beach cleanups, and going to Taylor Bray Farm and learning about the animals and being with the animals. They go to the Weetu in Yarmouthport and talk about indigenous spirituality and the indigenous stories, the Wampanoag stories mm-hmm. of this area. We do it through understanding that small things can have big impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So we do things like recycling and composting, and we got solar panels, and we spearheaded the plastic bag bans in Yarmouth and in Barnstable.
Fantastic.
And I mean, we do things like that to mm-hmm. both in our congregation, so that people understand that their actions, small and large, can have an impact. And we always talk about the impact these small actions have on the natural world.
Yes.
And protecting the natural world. It's not just something, okay, we do it because we're doing it. We do it because we know we can have, and we do have an impact. Our carbon footprint, as you would, it's important for us to alleviate some of that.
Yes, absolutely. I truly believe that as well. Some of the same things that we are doing here. Several years ago, we put solar panels on both sides of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it's enough electricity to power 5 buildings.
Wow.
This size. So four parts of that electricity goes back onto the grid.
Nice.
And that's clean energy for everyone. We also have beach cleanups, and we try to keep plastic out of the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and recycle. And some days you come out here, you'll think it's a Toyota dealer because there's nothing but Priuses out there.
Yeah.
So we're trying to cut our carbon footprint as well. Working on the building, trying to use less energy is a really important thing for me, particularly. So those are some of the things that I think there's a lot of things going on.
We also did this really interesting thing with FCEN called Energy Cafes.
Oh, nice.
Did you do those?
No, but I've heard of them.
What we were trying to do is help people who are income eligible to get some of the rebates and incentives to be more green and more energy efficient.
Yep. Now I remember we did do one of those.
Yeah.
Yes. Several people signed up for that. So it takes it out of this building and goes into your homes and helps people become more energy efficient.
Yes.
In their own homes. Yeah, we did do that here.
Yeah.
I remember now. Yeah, and it's important. I think the education piece is important. We have films all through the month of mm-hmm. April. Some folks just are not aware of the impact humans are having on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And if we just slow down and leave her alone a little bit, there's a lot of recovery that can happen.
Mm.
And we've been shown a lot of that as well in a lot of areas of the world. So educating people, I think, on how the environment can recover
mm-hmm.
and all the people who are involved in eco-justice and trying to bring back parts of the earth that are really important. It gives you a sense of hope.
Yes.
Because there's so much hopelessness around. And have you seen that? And is that something that you've had to deal with? Is helping people to stay hopeful?
It's hard to help people to stay hopeful about the environment with climate change and the crisis we're in as far as the climate goes. We have done a lot of work on grieving where we are.
Wow.
And where we've come and what it might mean for our children and our children's children.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about how just because we may not be able to stop climate destruction, we can do things now that can mitigate some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And can slow things down and give us maybe more opportunity and time to find better solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. I know personally I cut my carbon footprint probably in half.
Wow.
From 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at as a community, you know, we've probably, you know, done something.
Right.
You know, our little part. We're probably not as much as we could do. And it's a shame that it has taken such a crisis to get us even a little bit aware,
right,
of the things that we could be doing. I just find that fascinating that you are involved in grieving the environment, because that's a huge step, acceptance.
Yes.
I feel that in the few minutes that we have, if we could talk a little bit about where we can go, starting with acceptance of where we're at, because I feel there's such a denial of the climate crisis. What has been your experience in the grieving process?
Part of it is guilt. And accountability is part of the acceptance for me that we did have a hand in this. We are responsible for it. We have not been good stewards of the earth. And so part of the grief is my guilt at my personal responsibility and accountability for where we are. And for not being more proactive. And that's what I talk about. Sometimes taking responsibility is the first step in acceptance and moving forward from your grief.
Mm-hmm.
And also just really sitting with where we are and what we have done is really important, because then we feel more connected.
Yeah.
And once you acknowledge where we are and what we have done, you're saying, I had a part, I am part of this world, and I am doing something to this world. And that's where we can start to say, okay, how can I look at this, as Joanna Macy says, with new eyes?
Yes.
And see what I could possibly do to help. But first, I just need to feel the pain of looking around and seeing my world being torn up, polluted, abused, consumed. And that's, I think that's part of the grieving process.
Right. So where do you go from there? After you get into the acceptance of mm-hmm. your responsibility and acceptance of where we're at, where do we go from there?
Where we go from there is the looking at the problem in a different way. Instead of looking at stopping climate change, how do we look at what can we do to mitigate climate change? How can we prevent people from dying, from starving, from losing their homes? How can we make it less painful when that does happen? How do we help repair, rebuild? You know, repairing the world is really important. We can help repair it.
Yes. Yes, I believe we have that responsibility.
Yes.
We helped to destroy it, so we have to help repair it.
Yes.
And I think tonight's film, actually, it's a film called Buy Now, which I think I watched a while back on Netflix. And it's called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy. And I tell you what, I didn't want to buy anything ever again after watching that film. So I think education is a big part of it, changing our buying habits, what we do with our money, what we invest in, is an important thing, at least for us as a family and as a congregation. We want to support our local businesses, and we've made a real concerted effort to buy locally, to really slow down our buying practices and buy just what we need. And I just feel so much better about how I'm walking on the earth doing that, trying to keep the same car, you know, longer, not just because I want some fancy new car. I thought this is me 8 years ago. I wanted either a BMW, a Mercedes, or a Cadillac. That was it.
Yeah.
And I was shopping for those cars. And all of a sudden, this Prius pops up with very low miles. And my wife says, "Now you're talking." And by buying that car, I've cut my usage of gas in half.
Right.
At least in half. And so I thought, well, this feels pretty good. And it drives just as good as every other car. I didn't need a fancy car. And I feel much better driving a hybrid. So these little choices made a big difference in my life. And I think everyone can benefit internally from making choices like that. I was reading today, Henry David Thoreau says, it's not enough to do good. It's what is that good for?
Right.
What's the purpose of doing that good? Doing good for a purpose is what he said. And so I think it's a great opportunity, don't you think, for us to see the bigger purpose and to do good for that purpose?
Absolutely. I also think it's a spiritual practice. You know, if it's more than just your values, you're practicing your connection every day by doing these little things and big things that helps the earth. And so, yes, I think doing it for a purpose, both the purpose of healing the world and healing yourself.
Yes. You know,
by healing the world, because we are so intricately connected, we are also participating in healing ourselves. By not consuming so much, we're lowering our carbon footprint, and we're healing that need in our that hole inside us that says we have to buy to be whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it's really, it's mutually beneficial, and I also think it's a spiritual practice.
Thank you so much, Kristen. I wholeheartedly believe in that, what you just said, and join you in the idea of filling your soul with what it really needs.
Yes.
And that will calm down our addiction to trying to fill ourselves up from the outside.
Yes.
It's quite an important perspective, and it is a spiritual perspective. And I think that's a good place to say thank you for being here today. Thank you for your perspectives. We look forward to listening, hearing what you have to say next week at our Earth Care film. We're so grateful for your community. We're grateful for FCEN, the Faith Communities Environmental Network here on Cape Cod. If you live on Cape Cod, please check out the Faith Community Environmental Network and become a part of it. Your faith community can be also in the spiritual practice of helping the earth. And Kristen, I want to thank you once again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. And we'll see you next time on A World Powerfully Transformed. Thank you.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.